Let's start in Proverbs chapter 7 tonight. We're going to follow, start here. And when I said we're going to follow, I looked at the first word on the screen. That's what it says. Follow my advice. Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey them and live. Well, what if you don't obey them? You die. I mean, it's real simple, isn't it? You obey the commands in the book of Proverbs. Now, if there is a book in the Bible that we ought to read at least once a month, it's the book of Proverbs. Because it's got all the answers to life. It's only 31 chapters. You can sit down and read one chapter. A lot of them you can read in 5 or 10 minutes. You know, if you're just reading them. But, you know, study them. You know, don't just read them like a novel. Sit down and let them talk to you. Read them out of the NLT. Read them out of the King James. Read them out of the Amplified. But read them in several different translations. But he's saying there in Proverbs 7:1, follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my command. Treasure them. You know, don't just flippantly, when he tells you to do something, don't just say, oh, okay, God, maybe I'll do that. He says, treasure those commands. Do what I say. Then he says, obey them and live. Now then, there's a lot of people that don't obey God's word. And there's a lot of people die early. You know that? We see that all the time, don't we? We go to hospitals and people. See, just like right there. If you don't obey them, it's going to bring some kind of sickness and disease to your body, which will, in time, kill you. It may start out with just a little something, you know, and it may take 6 months or 6 years to kill you. But if you keep disobeying God's word, that sin eventually will bring forth death. And it'll kill you. Now then, you know, like I say, if you're 40 years old and you're through living, go ahead and disobey God. You know, because it'll kill you. But now if you want to live to be an old, healthy person without any sickness and disease, and I think that's what this couple here tonight that comes from, what did you say y'all were, Kansas? I think y'all want to live a good, a healthy life, right, brother? Amen. That's what I want, too. That's what my wife and I, you know, we want to walk holy in obedience to God's word. We want to walk in love. We want to do everything the Lord tells us to do because we want to live a long, healthy, blessed life. And the Lord said, if we obey His commands, we'll live. And that's where I want to go. Guard my teachings as your most precious possession. In other words, there should be nothing more precious to you than God's word. You ought to be taking God's word and reading it, listening to it, studying it. Take, like for instance, tonight when you get home, you ought to take this little short chapter 7 and you ought to read it over at least once or twice more tonight when you get home. You know, meditate on it and say, Lord, what are you telling me? And you'll be amazed at what He'll show you that you didn't get when we went through it the first time. He'll talk to you out of the word. You know, so you guard my teachings as your most precious possession. Now, you ever seen somebody had a picture on the back of their car that said, this car protected by Smith and Wesson. Don't touch it or you die. You seen that? What is their most precious possession? Their car. It's not God's word. So it's their car. So by being there, I used to be there. I mean, when I was a young guy, man, I mean, don't you mess with my automobile. You know, I ain't letting nobody drive my car back in those days when I was a teenager or a young 20-year-old. That car was mine. I don't loan it to nobody. You know, I drive my car. You know, I don't want a scratch on that car. I remember when I was in high school, I bought me in fact, it was in 57 when I graduated from high school in 1957. I bought me a 53 Ford convertible. My Lance, black with a white top. Ooh, man, that car was my prized possession. Now, don't you dare mess with my car. You get in my car with a cigarette in your mouth, you get out of my car. You ain't getting in my car with that cigarette in your mouth. Nobody's riding in my car with a cigarette in their mouth. I'll tell you right now, I didn't want that nasty stuff in my car. You know? Don't you get in my car with a can of beer in your hand. I didn't allow it in my car. You might spill some of that stuff on my carpets. You know, I mean, it was my God, my prized possession. Whew. I wonder why I had so many problems when I was young. Now I know. After I read the Word, I found out why I had so many prized possessions. I mean, I think about when I said that, I look at Eldon over there, and he's got a little prized possession. He took a little, was that a Model T?
Model A.
Model A. He took a Model A, and didn't you completely restore that thing?
I didn't do it all.
Okay,
but it's completely restored.
Yeah, I mean, that's a beautiful little machine. I mean, I saw that thing. Man, is it nice. He took me for a ride in that one day. Boy, I was very careful. I didn't want to scratch it. I wanted to do nothing because I know that's not his God, but it is one of his prized possessions. I know that. You know, so anyway. What is supposed to be our most precious prized possession? The Word of God. Yeah, right here. Guard my teachings as your most precious possession. 3 and 4. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. You don't just put them on the surface. I mean, you put them down in there. How do you do that? You don't read them one time, do you, Keith, and get it?
Over and over.
Over and over and over. That's just like whenever you're going to do a building for somebody, when you're going to build a complex, and Keith builds big buildings for people all over the Metroplex, I can just think if he goes out there and he's going to build a school that's got maybe dozens or maybe hundreds of rooms and thousands of square feet, he's got a set of plans, huge. He don't just go out there and kind of flip through them and say, okay, guys, let's get started. Man, you work on them plans, don't you, Keith?
Yes, sir.
I mean, it takes, I know I used to do that. So, man, you got to read them over and over and over to make, because the guys that's doing the work, he won't read them that good. No, they don't read them. So you got to make sure you get what your company's paying for, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, if you don't, you ain't going to get it, are you?
Nope.
Yeah, they'll just do it however they think it's okay, but it ain't okay. You know, they got to do it your way because your company is paying the bill for the set of drawings like they wanted it. And the school, somebody's going to do that. So you tie these laws on your fingers as a reminder and you write them deep within your heart. How many of us have ever had to tie something around our finger, a string or something? And then this is going to remind me to do this. And the next morning you wake up and you say, there's that string on my finger. What was that for? Any of y'all ever done that besides me? What did I put that string on there for? Must be something I was going to do. So here he tells us to tie them on our fingers as a reminder. And, of course, the thing about it is, if you're going to remind yourself to do something, especially read the Word of God, and you think you might not remember what that is, put a sign on that piece of tape. That piece of ribbon on the sign says, read the Word of God and then tie it on your finger. Then when you look at that thing and you look over to the little note and it says, read the Word of God. Now you know. You know what you tied it on your finger for. How many people do you know that does this? How many people do you know spend that kind of time with God? Almost nobody. Almost nobody. There's a few, but not very many. Write them deep within your heart. Love wisdom like a sister. Make insight a beloved member of your family. Love wisdom. Where do you get wisdom? There's only one place to get wisdom, from God. He'll give it to you. You know what? Somebody give me your definition. What is wisdom? What is your interpretation of wisdom? What God knows. Okay. That's a good definition.
Like having great knowledge, but also the learning on how to use it.
Amen. That's a great one. Knowing, I love that one. Knowing how to use the knowledge you have. That's what he just said. So you've got knowledge. You may go to school. May you learn how to be a beautician. Learn how to be a mechanic. A lawyer, a doctor, whatever. But you can still, you can even be a PhD on this earth and can't even make a living. Do you know that? I've seen people with some of the greatest educations and they can't do anything because they've never sought wisdom from God. Now, when you seek God and His wisdom, when you have the wisdom that God gives you, then you'll take the knowledge that you have in whatever area you've trained yourself, Maybe it's in finances, or maybe it's in, who knows what you do. You know, maybe you're like, years ago, I was just a mechanic. I finally learned how to fly airplanes, and I was an airline pilot. I prayed all the time, Lord, give me wisdom how to do all this. Because I wanted to do what I did right. You know, especially when I was flying them big ones. But you know, when you're flying the little ones, there ain't nothing like it. I was reading a story about in a Mooney book about a guy that had several thousand hours flying a beautiful little Mooney. And he took off the other day somewhere and up in the northeast. And he said, I took off and all of a sudden I heard a strange noise I had never heard before. And then I looked over and the oil pressure was zero. That ain't good. So he said, I did something that very few people ever do. I just done a wing over and went back down toward the airport. He said, I was already about 4,000 feet high when this happened. But I just done a wing over and went back, and now I'm going to land downwind. But he said, there ain't no way. I know there ain't no way I can get back around there and enter a pattern and make a normal downwind, make a landing into the wind. So he said, I'm headed back there, and said, I'm hearing this scraping noise, and it gets worse. Now, that's not exactly, and he said, I had three people on board with me. And so he said, I called the tower and said, Mayday, I have an emergency. I have no oil pressure. I've got to land. You got to clear everything for me. I'm going to land downwind. So he said, I thought, For a minute, he said, I panicked. Now, how many of you know that it's real easy to panic in a situation like that? Yeah. I've only had one of those, and it was in a Mooney. Also, I had an engine failure in South Texas, and it was because of fuel pressure. I had a fuel filter stop up and a fuel pump go out. I landed it on a highway with three people in it besides me, but I was as cool as I could be. I didn't do any damage to the airplane. I landed it on a highway. There was no airports around. I landed on a highway in South Texas, and there was only one car. When I come over the top of a mountain, and I'm right there, and I know I got it made now. I come over that mountain, I look down, and I drop the gear, and I'm only about 50 feet off the ground. As I do, a guy comes up in a pickup right out of a little ravine there. He looked up and saw that gear fall out, and he said, this guy's going to land. So he pulled out in the ditch to get away from me.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.